Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network, PGN's Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. I am excited to share with you today about the 666 Antichrist Prophecy this week on PGN. On Tuesday night, we have Prophet Randy Chandler on live at 9 p.m. Central, that's 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, as well as Wednesday for Pray Over Unite and Thursday for Blood Over the Doorpost. Please join us live every Wednesday, every Thursday night, Monday through Thursday on PGN. You can listen live to listen to Prophet Randy Chandler. That's 9 p.m. Central Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you go to blogtalkradio.com, there's a link to the upcoming broadcast. I encourage you to listen as often as you can to the wonderful programs that are on PGN. We have Terrence and Tanisha who give live ministry and prayer. We have Angela Joy on many Sundays, Felicia often on Sundays. There's Jeannie and Lashun and so many more. So please be sure to listen when you can. Carmen is on most Saturdays on PGN, giving both prayer and prophecy. I want to thank you for joining us today. Our phone number, the live phone number to call for prayer or to share a question or perspective during the live broadcast is 1-319-527-6027. That's 1-319-527-6027. Sometimes people use the phone number as a way to connect and not to specifically participate with a question or prayer request. So it's up to you how you wish to listen to the program. You can listen live using blogtalkradio.com or other sites that allow you to connect, for example, via Apple Podcasts. You can also call via telephone to listen live during the program. So please feel free to text as well. Any question that you have about the Book of Revelation, you can text 24/7. The PGN text phone number is 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. Let me say, no question is a bad question. Sometimes people feel shy or concerned about texting a question, thinking, oh, I should know this, or I don't want to sound this or that way. And we're all learning. We're all together looking at the Word of God, believing God to reveal to us the secrets that are contained in the Book of Revelation as well as elsewhere in the Bible. So I'm always happy and excited to get your questions. So feel free to text any question that you have about the Book of Revelation live during the show or anytime. Our PGN text phone number again is 1-214-505-8719. Today, we are talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy in the Book of Revelation. There are 12, by my analysis, 12 statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. They begin immediately with verse 1 of chapter 5, immediately following John's report on heaven, which is chapter 4 in its entirety. So the Book of Revelation begins with a movie trailer and words for the whole book. Then there's a formal introduction narrated primarily by John. And what does John say in introducing this book to us? He says, I, John, your brother and companion, sharer and participator with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patient endurance which are in Jesus Christ, was on the isle called Patmos, banished on account of my witnessing to the word of God and the testimony, the proof, the evidence for Jesus Christ. So John was on Patmos. He had been banished because he was a witness for God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 10, continuing of chapter 1, I was in the Spirit, wrapped in his power on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice, like the calling of a war trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Write promptly what you see, your vision in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum and to Thyatira, and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose was the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one, like a son of man, clothed with a robe, which reached to his feet, and with a girdle of gold about his breast. His head and his hair were white, like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes flashed like a flame of fire. His feet glowed like burnished bright bronze as it is refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth there came forth a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full power at midday. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the ever-living one. I am living in the eternity of the eternities. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore, and I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. Write, therefore, the things you see, what they are and signify, and what is to take place hereafter. As to the hidden meaning, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw on my right hand, and the seven lampstands of gold, the seven stars are the seven angels, messengers of the seven assemblies, churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. End quote. That is our introduction to the book of Revelation. It is the formal introduction to the book. It's narrated by John. He shares where he was, the isle called Patmos. He noted that he had been banished there. And he communicates that he was wrapped in his power on the Lord's day. Jesus Christ himself, God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ spoke to John, gave him instructions communicating that he was to write what is to take place hereafter, in addition to a few other things. And so where is the hereafter? What is the hereafter that John was to write about? And so John shares, as instructed by Jesus Christ, the words given to each of the seven angels for the seven churches that existed at that time in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. And then in chapter 4, he notes that he was instructed to come up hither. Where's hither? Heaven. In verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard addressing me, that was the voice of Jesus Christ, remember, like the calling of a war trumpet, said, so now the voice is talking to him again, And it says, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future. So this is the hereafter that Jesus talked to him about in the introduction, at the beginning of his experience. And so in chapter 4, before he tells us about what's to take place hereafter, John describes the interesting things that he actually saw as he was in heaven. So he sees the heavenly Sanhedrin and their thrones, and he sees some creatures and what they look like, and he sees people worshiping, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent, who was and who is to come. And so he shares his report on heaven in chapter 4. And then he goes into that instruction from Jesus Christ, which is to share what takes place hereafter. And so that's what we're talking about. The prophecies in the book of Revelation, which were all in John's future, and some are in our past, and some are taking place right now, and some are in the future to come. Now, what are these statements of prophecy? They begin with the seven seals prophecy, chapter 5. And after the seven seals prophecy, there's the seven trumpets prophecy, and then the 1,260 days prophecy about Israel and the role and activities of Israel during the Great Tribulation. Then the 666 Antichrist prophecy, which is the focus of our discussion and analysis today. That's followed by the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. 144,000 people will stand with Jesus Christ on this earth at the time of the second coming. And that prophecy is discussed in the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, which follows the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And then there's the earth reaped prophecy, which gives a report of the second coming, the marriage of the Lamb, how the earth is reaped when the wheat, the harvest is called in, the wheat is separated from the tares, the wheat is gathered up, the elect are gathered for the purposes of the harvest. That's followed by the seven plagues prophecy. There will be seven final plagues representing the culmination of the wrath of God. Then there's the purple and scarlet prophecy. What happens during the Battle of Armageddon in that final hour on this earth when Jesus Christ returns? The marriage supper prophecy, also about the Battle of Armageddon, followed by the millennial reign, the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this present earth. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These aren't four individuals. This is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. There's a Godhead. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. God the Father needed a body that would allow him to be on the earth for the purposes of redeeming man. And that body that he created is the body of Jesus Christ. And he indwelled that body. And he tricked Satan into killing him, although he was a soul that had not sinned. And so the law of sin in death was made of no effect. And so Jesus announced, he announces in the introduction to the book of Revelation, I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. And so what does that mean? What it means for you and what it means for me is that Jesus has the power to destroy death. And though we may experience the first death, if we are not in Christ at the time of the second coming, if we should experience the first death before Jesus Christ returns, it hardly matters if we are in Christ, because all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be resurrected at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We will put on our immortal, glorified bodies. And the disembodied spirits in heaven will again be three in one, body, spirit, and soul. And those on the earth will transition from a mortal body to an immortal body, so that we are three in one, perfected, glorified body, spirit, and soul. And let us go into now talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy, the basic study notes that you may use in tandem with our live discussion today. Maybe you want to look at the basic study notes later. They are available at blogtalkradio.com/live prophetic. And on the basic study notes, there are 7 items. And they include the specific scriptures that we'll be talking about today. They identify the statement of prophecy we're talking about, where it is in the book of Revelation, give some context with respect to other statements of prophecy that hang with this one. So I just want to note that those are there for your review at any time should you wish to use them. So let's begin with talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. We are in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, and I want to begin with context. There are 5 enemies of God, and God will destroy Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, will destroy the 5 enemies of God. And when those 5 enemies of God are destroyed, we will transition from this present earth to the perfected new earth, which will be free of sorrow, free of anguish, free of mourning, free of grief, free of pain, free of death. And one of the wonderful things that will happen for each person who is a member of the royal race, so every person who participates in the marriage of the Lamb, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who will transition from mortality to immortality, will have the mark of God on his forehead or on her forehead. That mark is the true mark. The false prophet and antichrist, inspired by Satan, in the future will push counterfeit marks, and the false prophet will perform counterfeit miracles. And so consider this. The mark of the beast discussed in this prophecy is a mark which will go on the forehead or the hand of a person. And it is the name of the beast or the number of his name. So in verse 17 of chapter 13, it says, the stamp mark inscription that is the name of the beast or the number of his name. And it says in verse 16, also he compels all alike, both small and great, both the rich and the poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right hands or on their foreheads. That's a counterfeit mark. The real mark, as noted in the book of Revelation in two places, in Revelation chapter 3 and also in Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, the real mark, the mark of God, will go on the forehead, and it is not the mark from Satan. It is not the mark that will reflect 666. Well, you say, well, what is this mark? So in Revelation, it talks about the true mark of God, the mark that will appear on the foreheads of every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what does it say in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12? These are the words of Jesus Christ. He says, he who overcomes is victorious. I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. Talking about what's going to happen. What's going to happen when we are under the government of Jesus Christ? He shall never be put out of it or go out of it. And here it is, friend, about the true mark of God, not the counterfeit mark, not the mark of the beast, but the mark of God. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, it says, I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Satan is a liar. So Jesus says, I'm going to put on my people my own new name and the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. And so what does Satan do? He wants to copy God. And so he says, I'm going to put my name, the name of the beast, on my people. So every person is team Satan or team Jesus. Every person who's followed God's plan of salvation is on team Jesus. Every person who has failed to follow God's plan of salvation is team Satan. So either one is team Jesus and a child of God, or one is team Satan and a child of Satan. So those who bear the mark of the beast, are doomed, are saying, I forfeit the opportunity, transition to an immortal perfected body, to participate in the new government that will exist forever and ever on this earth, and I accept that my name will be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, and instead of living eternally, instead of having eternal life on the new earth forever and ever, I will join my father Satan in the lake of fire for the eternities of the eternities. There are only two trajectories that a human being may follow for eternity. The trajectory that leads to the first resurrection taking place at the second coming of Jesus Christ, where everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life transitions to an immortal body, and forever living on the earth, that present earth for 1,000 years, and then the new perfected earth that happens after the great white throne judgment. The second trajectory is restoration to life at the great white throne judgment for the purposes of sentencing. And every person who participates as a litigant at the great white throne judgment is sentenced to eternal damnation in the lake of fire. So you might say, you know, research scientists, I don't believe in any of that. I don't believe in it. And as is the case in other things in life, sometimes we make a decision by failing to make a decision. So in other words, the failure to decide to follow God's plan for salvation is a decision to follow Satan's plan for eternal damnation. So there's eternal life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no man comes to the Father except by me. And the Father will transition his dwelling place, his house. He's going to relocate from present heaven to the new earth once the five enemies of God are destroyed. Who are the five enemies of God? And this is in the order of their destruction, which happens via the second death. Well, what's the second death? That's the lake of fire. The Antichrist and the false prophet, they are destroyed by God with the lake of fire. Satan is destroyed by God, hurled into the lake of fire forever and ever. So the Antichrist and false prophet, their destruction is detailed in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. They're hurled into the lake of fire. It says, and the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet. And then it goes on to say, both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. And then 1,000 years later, Satan destroyed with the lake of fire. It says in verse 10 of chapter 20, then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and false prophet were. And what's going to happen to them when they're thrown in that lake of fire? It says at the end of verse 10, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. Fourth enemy of God, every person who was Team Satan. In verse 15 of Revelation 20, it says, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. And finally, following up on what is promised in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, we learn about the fate of the fifth and final enemy of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26 says, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. Who's he? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And so when is death destroyed? At the culmination of the great white throne judgment, in verse 14 of chapter 20, it says, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And what do you think happens after that? When the fifth and final enemy to be destroyed, death, when that event occurs, we transition to the new earth. Forever and ever, this age will be over. The earth will be reaped in its entirety. All members of the royal race will continue onto the new earth. And every person who was Team Satan will be in the lake of fire forever and ever, following that trajectory of life, eternal damnation, where? In a physical location, the lake of fire. And every person who's a Team Jesus will continue on the new earth forever and ever. And so this mark of the beast that we're about to talk about in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, we need to understand what is the false prophet doing? Because any person who takes the mark of the beast is going to the lake of fire. It is a permanent mark in the same way that the mark of God is a permanent mark that will appear on our foreheads. And you say, well,
Dr. Nicole, how do you know it's going to be on our foreheads? In Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, it says in part, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Who's there? Well, that's in the New Earth prophecy. It's the individuals who are members of the royal race. It's the same name. It's the same mark described in Revelation chapter 3. That is the true mark. We should never, ever take the mark of the beast, even under penalty of death. Now, let us look at the 666 Antichrist prophecy in its entirety. Let's begin with its movie trailer and words, verses 1 to 5, and then let's look at the full report. So every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation follows this format. And this format might be new to you, but it's not new to non-fiction writing. So when you look at non-fiction reports, the most complex non-fiction report that exists in 2022 is the scientific article that appears in a peer-reviewed journal. So if you're looking at the New England Journal of Medicine, or you're looking at the Journal of College Retention, or you're looking at any kind of journal, what you're talking about, biology, physics, medicine, psychology, political science, the latest, greatest information, in particular, think of medicine, where we have these breakthroughs and doctors want to find out, well, what's new? You don't go to a textbook to find out what's new. You go there for summaries. The latest, greatest information is in a scientific peer-reviewed article, and those use always something called an abstract. That's a movie trailer in words. It's very short, and it's a summary. It doesn't have everything, but it has the key players, the key concepts, the key conflicts, the key issues in the full report. And then following the abstract, you have continued discussion. You have a full report of events. Now, this tool, the use of a movie trailer and words, is used universally in nonfiction reports in the highest level of academic scholarship. Now, let me ask you this. What's more important than the unveiling of Jesus Christ? What's more complex than the details, the secrets, the mysteries of how Jesus Christ will return as a lion, the Lion of Judah, for the purposes of reaping the earth, for the purposes of the marriage of the Lamb, transitioning all of his people, everyone in Christ who is in heaven today, having perfect continuity of life as a disembodied in spirit, and those who will be on the earth at the time of his second coming. There's a lot of information there. And seven of these 12 statement of prophecies focus exclusively or primarily on 3.5 years coming up quickly. I believe it's going to be in the lifetime of many of us who are on this call, participating in this program under the sound of my voice today. Seven of the 12 statement of prophecies. So we're talking about chapters 5 through 22, ending with verse 5 of 22, the bulk of the book of Revelation. Seven of these 12 prophecies focus on 3.5 years. That's the Great Tribulation. We say, well, research scientists, I heard that it was 7 years. Isn't the Great Tribulation 7 years? No. It is 3.5 years. Now, there's a 7-year period. 3.5 years leading up to the Great Tribulation. That period begins with the confirmation of the covenant. Well, what covenant is that? The covenant outlined in Genesis. God promised land to the children of Abraham, and that will be confirmed by leaders of the world. And when this confirmation of the covenant happens, that's the beginning of the 7-year period. 3.5 years later, the abomination of desolation will happen. the Antichrist will be known to every person who has read the prophecies in the book of Revelation and in the book of Daniel, because he will stand in Israel's rebuilt temple. Friend, we are waiting. We are waiting for Israel to get the green light to rebuild its temple. It was destroyed in 70 AD. It's been nearly 2,000 years since the Jewish people have had their temple on holy grounds in Israel on the Temple Mount. But there's coming a day in our lifetime. I believe it is coming soon. They are already making preparations. Let me get to the take-home point. This prophecy is about what happens during the Great Tribulation, and specifically, what will the activities of the false prophet be, and what is this mark of the beast? Now, we've already learned that the mark of the beast is a counterfeit mark. God will put his mark on our forehead, his name. His name is going on our forehead as members of the royal race. So no believer should ever take any other mark, the mark of the beast, on the forehead or on the hand. The false prophet will perform miracles. And we're going to read about this, but I want to highlight the counterfeit activities of the false prophet, just drawing parallels so that we see and understand that much of what Satan does is an attempt to copy God because he wants to be God, but he isn't God. He wants to be God. And so he empowers the false prophet and the Antichrist. And at the end, the very last thing that Satan does before he is destroyed, and now how is he destroyed? The five enemies of God, including Satan, are destroyed with the second death. That's God's strategy for permanently taking out his enemies. The last thing that Satan does is he deceives the mortals that exist on the earth, this present earth, during the millennial reign. He tells them, we're going to Jerusalem. We're taking back the earth. We're going to war. And, of course, it's a lie. The Battle of Armageddon is the war to end all wars. They go, many of them, in Revelation chapter 20, it says their number are like the sands of the sea. That's how many. And they're deceived. They think that he musters them for war. But what happens? The power of God, a miracle, the power of God happens. What is it? When they arrive in Jerusalem for the final time, this is after the Battle of Armageddon has been fought and won, but 1,000 years later, after the first 1,000 years when Satan has been released from the abyss for a short time, and he's persuaded the mortals of the earth at that time, many of them, to believe in him. So let's read the miracle that happens. It says in verse 9, of chapter 20, and they swarmed up over the broad plain of the earth and encircled the fortress camp of God's people, the saints, and the beloved city, talking about Jerusalem, but fire descended from heaven and consumed them. Let's hear that again. But fire descended from heaven and consumed them. The false prophet will give a counterfeit version of this powerful act of God, fire falling from heaven. And so in this prophecy we're about to look at, we're going to hear about the activities of the false prophet. We're going to hear about the mark of the beast. Let's hear now verses 1 to 5, the movie trailer in words, the abstract, for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. It reads, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, And John is speaking to us. He says, as I stood on the sandy beach, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns, he had 10 royal crowns, diadems, and blasphemous titles, names on his heads. And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but its feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And to him, the dragon gave his own might and power and his own throne and great dominion. Let's pause there for a second. Well, who's the dragon? The dragon is Satan. How do we know that? In Revelation chapter 20, the dragon is identified. It says, talking about an angel, and he gripped and overpowered the dragon, that old serpent of primeval times, who is the devil and Satan. So here in a 666 Antichrist prophecy, it says, talking about the beast, and to him the dragon, Satan, gave his own might and power and his own throne and great dominion. Continuing in verse 3, and one of his heads seemed to have a deadly wound, but his death stroke was healed, and the whole earth went after the beast in amazement and admiration. They fell down and paid homage to the dragon, talking about Satan, because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority. They also praised and worshiped the beast, exclaiming, who is a match for the beast, and who can make war against him? Now, this beast is a nation with 10 royal crowns. So 10 leaders of powerful nations working in tandem together, just as it was shown to the prophet Daniel hundreds of years before the book of Revelation was penned. And then finally, in the last verse of the movie trailer in words for the 666 Antichrist prophecy, it says, and the beast, talking about the 10 nation kingdom, so a conglomerate of nations that will exist at the time that Jesus Christ returns. So these nations, all 10, didn't exist 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. And it says, and the beast was given the power of speech, uttering boastful and blasphemous words. Now, who speaks for this 10-nation kingdom? The Antichrist is its mouthpiece. The Antichrist is the mouthpiece for the 10-nation conglomerate, which will become the one-world government that dominates political and economic affairs during the time of the Great Tribulation, the 3.5-year period that represents the wrath of Satan, but which is followed by the wrath of God. Satan starts it, but God finishes it with his wrath and the Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars. Let's hear verse 5 in its entirety. The last verse in the movie trailer and words for the 666 Antichrist prophecy says, and the beast was given the power of speech, uttering boastful and blasphemous words, and he was given freedom to exert his authority and to exercise his will during 42 months, 3.5 years. Now, this is very important. We learn here that the Antichrist will dominate, will be under authority, will have authority, will be endowed with authority, that's what I mean to say, for precisely 3.5 years. I'll mention briefly, talking about this 10-nation kingdom. So there's some interesting things that we could spend our entire program talking about, but I just want to say briefly, there are symbols associated with particular nations, and those symbols can be used to identify the nations mentioned. Now, all 10 nations that will be in this one world government aren't noted. And it's not even noted in the movie trailer that it's a one world government, but we learned that in the full report we're about to hear. But it's a 10-nation kingdom, and one of the nations resembles a leopard. Germany has a very interesting history. It's played a central role in World War I, in World War II, and again, when the troops of the one world government go to fight Jesus Christ under the leadership of the Antichrist and the false prophet as described in the marriage supper prophecy. It says in verse 19 of chapter 19, then I saw the beast and the rulers and leaders of the earth with their troops mustered to go into battle and make war against him who was mounted on the horse and against his troops. Who's him? Jesus Christ and the troops of heaven will be on this earth fighting the troops of the beast, that 10-nation, one-world government that's described here in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. But we learned that the mouthpiece of the beast, the Antichrist, he will have freedom to exert authority and to do as he pleases, to exercise his will during 42 months, 3.5 years. So that's one of the ways that we know that the Great Tribulation is precisely 42 months, that's 3.5 years or 1,260 days, as noted elsewhere in the book of Revelation in chapter 12. Now let's get into the... So you might wonder, how can I be sure that there's a movie trailer followed by a movie in its entirety? And it's important to understand this setup in the statements of prophecy because it's the only way to not be confused. If we're looking at an event that has happened in the book of Revelation, and then all of a sudden, 4 verses later, 5 verses later, even in the same chapter, we've gone forward in time, and now it looks like we've gone back in time to that same event. It's like, wait, did this happen twice? No. When you go to watch a movie, the scenes from the movie trailer are in the movie. But when we watch a movie, we're not confused. We understand that. But now that you have this secret of the abstract and the full report, that's the format of all 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. Each one starts with a movie trailer and words and abstract, and then it's movie, then you won't be confused. So in this 666 Antichrist prophecy, in verse 4, it says they fell down and paid homage to the dragon because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority. And then now when we look in the full report, it's going to tell us that again, that they fall down and pay homage. But when we look at that in the full report, we won't be confused. We understand that we've gone from the movie trailer and words to the full movie. Okay, so that's just an example. When we get to that, I'll point it out. By my analysis, there are 6 key scenes in the 666 Antichrist prophecy in this full report. So we're talking about events that happen over a 3.5 year period. And if I asked you, tell me what has happened in your life in the last 3.5 years, what are the key things that have happened in your life, and do it in 150 words, or even, let's say, 250 words, there's some things that would be maybe interesting, maybe even important, but due to the limitations of space, right, due to those constraints, you'd have to make good decisions and to specifically focus on the most important things. And so here we're going to see the most important things from the perspective of God about the 666 Antichrist prophecy, the mark of the beast, and what is happening with the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation. So what happens in scene one? It says in verse 6 of chapter 13, and he opened his mouth, talking about the person who is given the power of speech, the mouthpiece for the 10-nation government that will rule from Europe, 10 European nations in a conglomerate, the nation representing the leopard, Germany. They built that tank, the most powerful tank in the world. They've been building it for decades. Each version of it gets better. They sell it to nations around the world. If you want the best tank that exists, your nation purchases it from Germany. It's called the Leopard. And then Russia. Russia is known as the Bear. Magazine articles, when they want to depict Russia, they show it as a bear over and over again. And if you look up, Great Britain, its symbol is the lion. And of course, the United States of America is associated with an eagle. The eagle and Uncle Sam are our symbols, and the eagle is described in the book of Revelation in chapter 12. But today we're focusing on the 666 Antichrist prophecy. So those nations will be three of the nations that are a part of this 10-nation conglomerate that will ultimately become the one world government that dominates political and economic affairs during the 3.5-year Great Tribulation period. So in scene one of the full report of the 666 Antichrist prophecy, so this is the beginning, scene one, what happens? Talking about the Great Tribulation, the full report begins with telling us that the Antichrist, what does he do in verse 6? He opens his mouth to, quote, speak slanders against God, blaspheme his name and his abode, and even vilifying those who live in heaven. So who lives in heaven? God the Father lives in heaven. During the Great Tribulation, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, will live in heaven. Every saint who has died in Christ lives in heaven. And so the Antichrist is going to slander God, blaspheme his name and his abode, and vilify those who are currently residing in heaven. Then in scene two, we're told more. So we know what he is going to do with his words as the mouthpiece of this 10-nation government. This 10-nation kingdom dominating the affairs of the earth. In verse 7, scene 2, it says, he was further permitted. Who's he? The Antichrist, who's given the power of speech, the mouthpiece for the 10-nation government. It says, he was further permitted to wage war on God's holy people, the saints, and to overcome them. Power was given him to extend his authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. So this is important. So in scene two, we're shown two things. In the 1,260 days prophecy in chapter 12, the focus is on what happens with Israel during the Great Tribulation. And the focus of chapter 13 is what happens to Christians and those who take the mark of the beast. So here, talking about Christians, specifically, the Antichrist is going to wage war on the saints, and he will be permitted to overcome them. Now, here's the thing. God gives an instruction about what we are to do if we are led into captivity during the Great Tribulation. We're going to see that in verse 10. But in this scene, it's noted, listen, the Antichrist is going to have power and dominion. It's going to be for 3.5 years. He's going to wage war against Christians, and he's going to overcome them. Does that mean every Christian is going to be overcome during the Great Tribulation? No, it doesn't. But some saints will lose their lives, and they are discussed in Revelation 20. One of the first things that we're told in the full report of the millennial reign prophecy is that they are restored to life again, that the saints, they are called out specifically, that one group of individuals whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, immediately, one of the first two things mentioned in the full report of the millennial reign prophecy is every person who lost his or her life on account of testifying about Jesus Christ, preaching the word of God, is restored to life in a physical body that is immortal at the time of the second coming and is on this present earth for the first 1,000 years and of course beyond. Okay, so going back to scene two. Now this is where we find out that there is a 10-nation beast, a 10-nation conglomerate, a kingdom, but it becomes, and it is in essence a beast. It goes from being powerful for the purposes of those 10 nations to having an extension of authority. That's in verse 7. In the second part of verse 7, it says, and power was given him, talking about the Antichrist, to extend his authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. So the beast is going to grow in its dominion beyond those 10 nations. Will every nation be under the dominion and the leadership of the Antichrist? No. And we know that from other scriptures and passages in the Bible. But there will be the extension of authority, and it will impact every tribe and people and tongue and nation. Let's continue. In scene number 3, verse 8, what exactly happens during this great tribulation to the people of the earth? Now, we categorize people in many different ways. We look at people in terms of sex. They're men and women. And we look at people in terms of race or ethnic background. So we can group people that way. We can group people by age categories. We can group them based on the continent or the country that a person is a citizen of. There are all these different ways, but here's the way that people are grouped in God's word in the 66 Antichrist prophecy. There are those whose names are recorded in the book of life of the Lamb. And there are those whose names are not recorded. And you might say, well, why does that happen? So if your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you are guaranteed participation on this new earth and befitting a perfected new earth, you will have a perfected new body, which you get before the new earth comes. You get that body at the time of the marriage of the Lamb, the second coming of Jesus Christ. So either a person is going to spend eternity on the new earth or spend eternity in eternal damnation in the lake of fire. So every person who will spend life on the new earth forever and ever with Jesus Christ and his government increasing forever and ever, all of those individuals are people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you have not followed God's plan for salvation, then you're in the other group, the group that reflects those individuals whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So let's see this. Let's see how God groups people into simply those two categories. In scene number 3, in the full report of the 666 Antichrist prophecy, it says, talking about those people whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it says, of them, in verse 8, and all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage. Now, who's all the inhabitants? He goes on to say, everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain and sacrificed from the foundation of the world. And so here in scene 3, we're told that during this 3.5-year great tribulation period, individuals will fall down in adoration and pay homage to the Antichrist. Now, who's going to do that? Two groups of people, those whose names are recorded in the book of life of the Lamb and those whose names are not recorded in the book of life of the Lamb. So those whose names are not recorded in the book of life of the Lamb, those are the individuals who are going to fall down in adoration and pay homage to the Antichrist. Now, remember, we already heard that this was what we were going to hear in the full report. So in the movie trailer in words, we're in verse 8. But we heard about this in verse 4. They fell down and paid homage. Let's continue. So they are going to pay homage to the Antichrist, pay homage to Satan, and let's hear more about that. And the false prophet is going to be the person leading people to do this. Now, in scene number 4, verses 9 and 10, after God has already revealed that there will be a war waged under the leadership of the Antichrist, the mouthpiece and head of the 10-nation, one-world government that's going to go beyond the 10 nations to have authority over all the tribes and people of the earth, because some people and all nations are going to take this mark of the beast. We're getting to that part of the prophecy. But we're given here in verses 9 and 10 and scene 4, we're giving an admonition, a warning, an instruction, if you will, from God about our conduct, our behaviors, our decisions, what God wants us to avoid during the 3.5-year great tribulation. What does he say? What's the instruction? It's in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 13. It says, if anyone is able to hear, let him listen. And we see that language over and over again in the book of Revelation. He who is able to hear, let him listen and heed what the Spirit says. That's said over and over again in chapters 2 and 3. And so now we have it being said again. So that's for the saints. That's for those of us whose name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here's what God is saying to us about our conduct, what we should do or not do during the Great Tribulation. In verse 10, this is the instruction. Whoever leads into captivity will himself go into captivity. If anyone slays with the sword must he be slain. Herein is the call for the patience and the faith and fidelity of the saints, God's people. So what is this telling us? Patience. We must understand that the Antichrist and the one world government that will dominate political and economic affairs, that their rule is for a finite period of time. It is limited to 42 months. That wrath of Satan, the great tribulation, will be followed by the wrath of God. Jesus Christ will come and fight and win the war to end all war, finishing up what Satan has started. God manifests in the flesh. Jesus Christ will finish. And so we are told, if anyone slays with the sword must he be slain. Herein is the call for the patience and faith and fidelity of the saints. So we don't want to lead anyone into captivity. We want to lead people to Jesus Christ so that they may experience salvation. We are not called during that time to kill with the sword. We are called to help the nation of Israel, and that is discussed in Revelation chapter 12 in the 1260 days prophecy immediately preceding the 666 Antichrist prophecy. The United States of America will support Israel during the Great Tribulation. That's noted in verse 14 of chapter 12. It says, but the woman, talking about Israel, was supplied with the two wings of a giant eagle. America will not be number one in world affairs during the time of the Great Tribulation, but we will still be a great nation. We won't be great as in make America great again in the way that we have been historically, but we will still be a giant. What does it say here about the United States of America? But the woman, talking about Israel, was supplied when? During the Great Tribulation, with the two wings of a giant eagle, so that she might fly from the presence of the serpent into the desert wilderness to retreat, where she is to be kept safe and fed for a time and times and half a time, 3 1/2 years or 1,260 days. We will help Israel for the 1,260 days. We will be a supplier to sustain Israel while it is under attack from the Antichrist and the one world government. Okay, going back to the 666 Antichrist prophecy, let's go to scene four. We've just looked at verses 9 and 10, which was scene four. Now we're going into scene five. So now let us find out, we've been talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist and the false prophet will work in tandem during the Great Tribulation. And in scene number 5, verses 11 to 17, we find out the six key activities of the false prophet who will work in tandem with the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation, which will last for 3.5 years. They are outlined. And this is really important. You might say, well, why do I need to know about the activities of the false prophet? The false prophet is the person who will deceive people into believing that they are saved when they aren't saved. The false prophet is the person who will be persuading people to take the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is a permanent mark. It is a permanent mark. The result is forfeiture of salvation, forfeiture of the opportunity, the promise of eternal life on the new earth in a forever body. On the new earth, which is a perfected earth that will exist forever and ever. So let's see here in scene 5, in the full report of the 666 Antichrist prophecy, what will be the activities of the false prophet who will work in tandem with the Antichrist? In verse 11 it says, then I saw another beast rising up out of the land itself. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke, roared like a dragon. So the false prophet will speak the words of the dragon, the devil, but he will look like a lamb. What else? Now, here are the six key activities of the false prophet during the Great Tribulation. Number one, noted in verse 12, he exerts all the power and right of control of the former beast. That's the 10-nation, one-world government in his presence. So he has the power and the right of control. Why? How? How does he have that? Because he's working in tandem with the Antichrist. So they're lockstep together in their activities. And what else does he do? Number two, causes the earth and those who dwell upon it to exalt and deify the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and to worship him. So there's something about these nations where it will appear that one is down for the count, that one has been destroyed, that one has been annihilated, but it's going to come back to life in an extraordinary way, and people are going to be awed, and they will love this beast, and they will begin to worship it. Do you know that during the time of Rome, people loved that? They loved Rome so much that they began to worship it. Let's continue. What else about the false prophet? In verse 13, he performs great signs, startling miracles, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. So this is one of the startling miracles, it says, that he will perform. Now remember, this is a counterfeit miracle. So is it supernatural power? Absolutely. It is power from Satan himself. Satan will empower the false prophet to perform counterfeit miracles. So a counterfeit miracle is supernatural power from Satan. A genuine miracle reflects supernatural power from God the Father. So this is the counterfeit miracle, the real fire falling from heaven that happened with the prophet Elijah, and it's going to happen again to take out those who are coming to, they think, take back Jerusalem at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign, but actually fire is just going to fall from heaven and consume them. There won't be any war. They think Satan has told them, he's mustered them for war, but as I said earlier, reading verse 9 of chapter 20, fire descended from heaven and consumed them. Who was them? These are the mortals who Satan deceives at the end of the millennial reign. But wanting to be like God, the false prophet will perform a startling miracle, a counterfeit miracle. So in verse 13, the third of six things noted that the false prophet will do, he will perform great signs, startling miracles, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. Now, this is important for us to know. You might say again, why do I care about the activities of the false prophet? If we didn't know better, even the very elect Christians could be deceived. Imagine seeing a mortal man actually call forth fire from heaven. It's going to look amazing. It will be a miracle, but a counterfeit miracle. And so when we know this in advance, we won't be deceived. Let's look at the fourth thing that the false prophet will do during the Great Tribulation, as noted in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. In verse 14 of chapter 13, it says, "And because of the signs, miracles, which he is allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast." So he's performing these signs and miracles in the presence of this 10-nation government. So he's working in tandem with the leader of the 10-nation government, the Antichrist. So because he's performing these signs, which he's allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast, what happens? This is so important. He deceives, talking about the false prophet, those who inhabit the earth, commanding them to erect a statue, an image in the likeness of the beast who was wounded by the small sword and still lived. So they're going to make a statue. And let's continue. What else? In verse 15, remember they had a statue and they wanted people to worship the statue during the time of Daniel. People are deceived. They will be deceived. They were deceived in the past, and some will be deceived in the future, wanting to worship a statue. Let's go to verse 15, the fifth thing that the false prophet will do, as noted in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, as he works in tandem with the Antichrist. It said, "And he is permitted also to impart the breath of life into the beast's image so that the statue of the beast could actually talk and cause to be put to death those who would not bow down and worship the image of the beast. Now, this is very interesting. In the United States of America, it's hard to imagine somebody wanting to bow down and worship Joe Biden or Donald Trump or Barack Obama. That's just not in our way of thinking that we want to worship in that way. Think about the new Prime Minister of the UK. Does anybody want to worship Liz, the new Prime Minister of the UK? Or think about any leader. Now, there are some nations today where it looks like the leader maybe does want to be worshipped, for example, North Korea. So there's coming a time where there will be a technology that allows an image, and that image will be able to detect in the context of that technology whether a person, a person in his or her physical body actually bows down to worship when that image is shown from the statue. The image is presented in a statue, and in response, the expectation during the Great Tribulation will be that human beings will look at it thinking that it's a god, it's deified, it's been given the status of being God-like, actually God, and the goal is to bow down and worship, and the technology will be such that when the image of the beast is shown from the statue, that if a person does not bow down, the beast will actually talk and cause the person to be put to death. Now, that just sounds like science fiction right there. I'm not aware of any technology that exists like that today, but it is coming. It is coming, and we ought not be surprised when it gets here. So what else will the false prophet do? And so let me go back. So the false prophet will play an integral role in bringing that technology to the nations of the earth. He's actually going to give the breath of life into the beast's image so that the statue of the beast can actually talk. So there'll be technology, and it says the breath of life. Perhaps that's through the supernatural power of Satan. And continuing in verse 16 and 17, we get the six of six key actions of the false prophet during the time of the Great Tribulation. Now, this is very important. So this is the 666 Antichrist prophecy. We've learned about what the Antichrist will say, how he will blaspheme God, blaspheme the abode of God, blaspheme people in heaven, how he will be the mouthpiece for the 10-nation conglomerate from Europe that dominates political and economic affairs. We learned about five of the key activities of the false prophet who will be operating in tandem with the Antichrist at that time. Now, in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 13, we hear about, again, the mark of the beast. This is so important. It says, also, he compels, talking about the false prophet, all alike, both small and great, both the rich and the poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right hands or on their foreheads. This is the mark of the beast. This inscription is a counterfeit mark. Satan is jealous of God, and God will put his name on the foreheads of his people. It says that in verse 4 of chapter 22, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And it also says it in verse 12. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Who's I? Jesus Christ. And who's him? Who's he going to write this on? Every person who's victorious. Every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of the children of God will bear the true mark. We will bear it on our forehead. So Satan, being jealous of God, wishing for the glory of God, to be like God, he puts his mark on his people. So what does that mean? If you take, if anyone takes this mark, the inscription, and has it stamped on their right hands or on their foreheads, that person's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It will be blotted out. So Jesus talks about in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, how he will not blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life if you are victorious. So what does it mean to be victorious? To persevere and endure to the end. Ending life, if one is to experience the first death with the promise of salvation. So do not take the mark of the beast. That is the take-home point. Every person who takes the mark of the beast is in that second group. So remember, in this 666 Antichrist prophecy, God puts all people of the earth into two categories. There's not a third one like, oh, well, I'm not a part of this or I don't believe in it. No, no, no. There are two categories. People whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and group number two, people's names who are not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. If a person is compelled by the false prophet, now you say, well, I don't think I'll follow that. This false prophet is going to talk like a lamb. He's going to be the number one so-called Christian on the earth. Now, when we talk about the purple and scarlet prophecy in chapters 17 and 18 of the book of Revelation, we're going to talk about who the false prophet is. And it's the last pope. Time constraints don't permit us to go to that prophecy today, but he is going to appear the number one religious person on the earth. So we're going to a one world government and a one world religion. Remember, in the seven trumpets prophecy, there's the sixth trumpet war, which will be World War III. A third of mankind will be destroyed, unfortunately. This is horrific. I don't want to think about a third of human beings experiencing death, but it's coming, friend. It's described in the seven trumpets prophecy. A third of mankind will be destroyed. It says in verse 18 of chapter 9, a third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the sulfur brimstone that poured from the mouths of the horses. We'll be talking about the seven trumpets prophecy in February of 2023. Please put it down on your calendar if you're excited about that prophecy. And so talking about the false prophet, when a third of mankind is destroyed, people are going to be sorrowful. Grief is going to overtake the earth, and this is going to be the perfect entrance ramp for the one world religion. People are going to say, you know what? It's all these different religions that are causing people to destroy the earth and each other. And in order to have peace, we got to have one world religion. We're all children of God. We're all worshiping the same God, no matter what we call him. But in fact, there's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Son of Man. And that's his name, Jesus Christ. And so people will be deceived. People will be tired of war and death and grief. And so it will sound right to many. It will sound right to say, you know what? Let's just stop with all these different religions. Let's get under this one way of thinking. We're all worshiping the same God. Stop talking about Jesus Christ because that's excluding this group or that group. That's what they're going to say. And this false prophet, he's going to talk about peace, and he's going to look amazing. He's going to look like he is the Lamb of God, but he is not Jesus Christ. He is empowered by Satan, and he speaks the words of Satan, and he acts to bring to pass the goals of Satan, which are to take with him to the lake of fire as many human beings as he can. And so, do not take the mark of the beast. Do not be a part of the church that will lead the one world religion during the Great Tribulation. We're going to talk about the purple and scarlet prophecy later this year and in 2023, in August of 2023, I believe. Make sure I'm saying the right month. This year we'll be talking about the purple and scarlet prophecy, and also in August of 2023. Let's hear the last scene in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. Verse number 18, it says, here is room for discernment, a call for the wisdom of interpretation. Let anyone who has intelligence, penetration, and insight enough calculate the number, let anyone who has intelligence, penetration, and insight enough calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number. The number of a certain man, his number is 666. Friend, there it is, the 666 Antichrist prophecy. That number will be the calculation of the number of a certain man, his human number, and it is the number of the beast. Two beasts are described in this Antichrist prophecy: the false prophet, and the 10-nation kingdom, which will dominate economic and world affairs. Thank you for being with us, friend. We'll be back live with new insights and discussion about this prophecy on Sunday and next Tuesday and every day that we are having this program in the month of September. Thank you for being with us, and until next time, friend, take care.